A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 342. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about clangers. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, welcome back to the second part of our discussion about this charming children's classic from BBC Television in 1969 to 1972. Ran for 2 series, 26 episodes in total. They're very short, they're only 10 minutes each. And we are in a strange world of stop motion animation of some mysterious, weird, knitted creatures who live on a small planet floating somewhere out there in space.
That is what we are dealing with clangers, for sure. One of the charming things about clangers is the supporting cast of the froglets, who we briefly mentioned last time, and of course the soup dragon, the iron chicken. Both the soup dragon and the iron chicken have offspring during the course of the series. And we have all of these strange creatures who have their own look to each one of them and their own sounds and their own personality. And we also have some inventions from Major Clanger. And often those come up in later episodes after they've been introduced. And we also have some inventions that his daughter, Tiny Clanger, comes up with as well.
And one of the interesting things about this is that the 10-minute episodes are self-contained little adventures for clangers. But there are sort of continuing characters and items. So, for instance, once the froglets show up, then they're pretty much in the series. They stay on the Clangers planet and they will show up from time to time. Likewise, the Soup Dragon's baby, the Iron Chicken's baby will become recurring characters. And, you know, we've seen them interact with the musical cloud, the song note trees. They'll come back for future episodes. So, you know, the Clangers learn and they meet new characters. They sort of integrate them into their world in a way as the series progresses, which is quite an interesting element for this children's show.
That was something that actually surprised me quite a bit, that while the episodes really are self-contained, the various things that are added, various elements that are added, sometimes characters, sometimes objects, they will turn up in the next episode, or they will become recurring elements that are there in some cases for the rest of the series.
Which is rather fun, actually, because when you've got such characters like the Iron Chicken or the froglets, it's nice to see them pop up from time to time and for the froglets to pop out of the top hat they live in.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and all these wonderfully absurd things on this alien world. So why shouldn't it be absurd, right?
Absolutely. And of course, each of these characters have their own distinctive sound effect, dialogue or speech pattern. We've obviously, everybody remembers clangers and their slide whistle voices. But the soup dragon, I wish I knew more about how the soup dragon's voice was produced. It sounds like somebody sort of mumbling dialogue into a microphone with an awful lot of electronic reverb, or maybe in a very echoey cowshed, perhaps, Brian, something like that.
Yes, I don't know how that one was done, but they do have sort of very distinctive sounds for each one.
They do. And of course, we mentioned visitors to the Clanger planet. Well, this was a series that started in 1969, a series specifically intended to sort of tie in to the moon mania and the space race. So it's perhaps not too surprising when an Earth lunar lander spacecraft actually lands on the Clanger planet.
Yes, and we see an astronaut come out. We see a few things with that. And while the spacecraft and the astronaut are only there for a couple of episodes, one or two things are left behind and become elements that are ongoing as well.
Yes, we get to see an actual astronaut on the planet.
Yes, and that actually meant that Oliver Postgate and Peter Furman needed to make larger versions of some of the puppets so that they could use an action figure. It was an Action Man, or known as G.I. Joe in North America, as the astronaut with a, you know, a little spacesuit on it. In order to get the scale that they wanted, they had to do some new puppets for that.
Fascinating. I never knew that there was a sort of revamped larger version of the Clanger puppets, but there you go.
Yeah, and they had like a lunar rover type robot that becomes a new friend to Tiny Clanger as well. And there's a random plastic bag, a Gladstone bag as well. So, you know, we do get some things that show up that get incorporated into it.
And it's fascinating and fantastic they all are. We're going to talk about the Clanger's legacy and some pop cultural references to the show because, as we've said a few times, this is one of the best remembered children's television shows from the UK. Very, very fondly remembered and has many, many fans over the years, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And particularly in the UK. But one place that British sci-fi fans in the US and Canada are more likely to have caught a glimpse of the Clangers is from a 1972 Doctor Who serial, The Sea Devils, with John Pertwee as the Third Doctor, and that had Roger Delgado playing the Master, the original version of the Master. And there is a scene where the Master is in prison watching an episode of Clangers on television. And there's a few lines of dialogue about what he's watching. And that is a reference, something that Doctor Who fans will see and be familiar with.
And does he say something like remarkable?
Yes, he does. And I believe the idea was that he was joking. He knew it was a made-up TV show, but the warden he was talking with thought the Master was being serious and, you know, explained that it wasn't real.
Fantastic. And, you know, if you've got a Doctor Who serial that's got John Pertwee, Roger Delgado, the Sea Devils, and then you throw in a brief appearance of the Clangers, well, that's just perfect for me, Brian.
Yeah, it's quite something.
Now, we've also got, as well as the Clangers, we've got the Soup Dragons. There is a Scottish rock and pop band called the Soup Dragons, who, surprise, surprise, took their name from the Clangers character, the sort of guardian of the soup wells.
Of course, that's somehow not surprising. There was also a Clangers puppet that appeared in an episode of the comedy series The Goodies, a very popular show. And that puppet appeared as a member of a puppet government. So they were making that joke there.
And of course, if you mention Clangers to somebody from particularly the UK who has got even the vaguest recollections of the show, the thing they will usually go for straight away is the whistling voices, these slide whistle produced Clanger voices, which has become so much part of the UK psyche that it has led to this legend that I talked about last time, Brian, where a lot of people will tell you that the performers were just swearing into the Swanee whistles the whole time. And we did discuss last time where that sort of legend originated.
Yes, that's right. There were also images from the Clangers episode The Rock Collector used in well-known memes spoofing the moon landing hoax theories. So, you know, it's come up as something that gets used for different things.
I will try and post those images on the Facebook group when these episodes come out, Brian. If you've seen this, you may be familiar with this. You get, again, it's images from that same episode, The Rock Collector, where the lunar lander lands on the Clangers planet. And people are captioning the pictures with various sort of criticisms about the direction of shadows and length of shadows and the flag and so on, never mentioning the fact that there's clangers in the pictures.
Oh, lovely. That's perfect. You can actually see the original clanger and soup dragon puppets at the V&A and the Rupert Bear Museums.
And actually, now I know that when, you know, things are all a bit easier and we're all able to travel a bit more freely, I must go to the V&A Museum and seek out the clanger puppets because I would love to see them. Except, of course, for the original Mother Clanger puppet, which in one of these, again, little bizarre details from shows that involve puppets, it was stolen.
Oh, no.
And has never been recovered. Yes.
If any of our listeners has information about the Mother Clanger puppet, please let us know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've certainly been to the V&A, but I did not know they had clangers there. So maybe that is something to look into.
Yes, I will have to try and find out if they're still on display when everything reopens. Of course, there were plenty of clangers toys, there were books, various tie-ins. You could have your own little small knitted clanger. There was even clangers made the various whistling noises when you pressed buttons or pulled strings on their backs. And there was even, again, I didn't know about this, there was a soundtrack album of Vernon Elliott's music that came out in 2001 with the clangers theme, but also incidental music, various melodies that Tiny Clanger composes with the song note trees and the cloud and so on. So I'm quite interested to look at that as well now, Brian.
Yes, that that would be an interesting one for sure. So there is one thing that we've been leaving out that we have to come to, and that is that there was a relaunch, a new Clangers series that ran in 2015 on CBeebies, the BBC Children's Service, and they did a total of 52 episodes, running about 11 minutes long, so similar kind of duration to the originals. And the series was co-produced by Small Films, still, with help from Peter Furman and from Oliver Postgate's son, Dan. Sadly, Postgate himself had passed away in 2008.
And while, as you say that, Brian, it occurs to me that, you know, we've made comparisons with Gerry Anderson's World of Puppets. And it's interesting that, you know, both Oliver Postgate and Gerry Anderson's sons have sort of, to a certain extent, carried on their father's legacy, carried on doing some work in producing follow-ups and reimaginations of their father's work.
Yes, Jamie Anderson is very active in working with the Gerry Anderson legacy and new productions of a variety of types.
And of course, sadly, because there was no Oliver Postgate to do the narration, they had to get a new narrator. And as we hinted last time, who could you possibly get better to do this sort of friendly, informative voiceover with a delicious sort of British voice than Michael Palin, a canonical Python for you, Brian?
Yes, and he has a similar sort of sound and similar delivery to what Postgate gave us in the late 60s and early 70s. So you could really see why they would want to go with him.
And amazingly, apparently, when they showed the CBeebies version on US television, they got William Shatner to do it.
Now, that would be a different feel, but doing a space show with Shatner doing the voice, that's something quite fun there as well.
I haven't listened to any clips of William Shatner doing the narration, but apparently he was absolutely delighted and tickled pink to be asked to do it.
That's great. Getting Star Trek's original Captain Kirk doing clangers is kind of lovely.
Indeed it is. Of course, there's other voices in the remake, and Dan Postgate himself did the voices for the Iron Chicken, the Soup Dragon, the Baby Soup Dragon. He presumably knows the secret of how to produce a Soup Dragon voice.
Yeah, I would think so. He would know a bit more about these things. The revival was a big hit for CBeebies with some of their highest viewing figures ever. And in a BBC magazine survey, it suggested that about 65% of that big audience was actually adults. So I think the nostalgia really helped that one along.
Absolutely. Took us all back to the show again, the show from our childhoods. Now, you can find the first series of this Clangers remake on DVD. It's also on Amazon Video, where you can get 9 episodes for about a fiver. But I've looked this morning, and at the moment of recording, 22 of those 52 episodes are available here in the UK for free on BBC iPlayer. And I watched a couple of them this morning, and they were delightful. The animation is obviously a bit smoother. They are rather more colourful episodes, but the characters, the music, and Michael Palin's narration is just marvellous. So if you are looking to divert or entertain young children at the moment, then perhaps check out the remake, which is available on the BBC iPlayer.
For sure. So I think we should get into some of our own thoughts a little more than we already have. So, Eamon, what do you like about the original run of Clangers?
All of it, Brian, all of it. I should say that, as you know, regular listeners will know, this is a show that was very nostalgic for me. This is one that I've come back to. Whereas for you, Brian, it's a new experience because, as you say, Clangers not terribly well known across the pond. But it is an utterly charming show. Everything about it is just wonderful. So I will rave about some of the features in a moment, but I shall bounce the question back across to you in Canada. What did you like about Clangers, Brian?
Well, I also quite enjoyed this. It was new to me, and it is charming, you're right. But it has a sense of absurdity and imagination to it that was really nice. So, you know, having right at the beginning meeting the soup dragon serving up soup from the soup wells and all of these things that are really quite out there and very original and imaginative, I really enjoyed that.
Yes, the imagination, the invention, the designs of the characters and the creatures are all just wonderful. You know, as we've mentioned, the song note trees, but also things that we haven't really talked about much, like blue string pudding, the glow buzzers, and the light they produce and the honey they produce. We've talked a little bit about the musical machines, some of Major Clangers' machines. It's all just wonderful. So delightfully done, so inventive, so beautifully made by Peter Furman and his wife, and just marvellously animated by Oliver Postgate.
Yes, the design of it and sort of the look of things and the sound of things, how they move. A lot of it is done very simply, and you can see that, but it's really nice. It's really cleverly done.
It is indeed very cleverly done. Beautiful little scripts. The dialogue where you feel that you can almost understand what the soup dragon and the Clangers are saying to each other. And then Oliver Postgate's beautiful narration, which I'm going to come back to again in just a moment.
Yes, they really did have some nice things there. And it was really a tremendous amount of this was done by just a few people. You know, beyond the musicians and the composer, you basically had Oliver Postgate, Peter Furman, and Joan Furman doing pretty well everything for this. And I think that helps give it a nice personality that it really has what they were putting into it.
Yes, I've said this several times, but this cottage industry of small films and then Vernon Elliott taking the Clangers ensemble off to a village hall to record the music for the episodes. Just beautiful, lovely, beautiful stuff. I mean, did you enjoy the music and the whistles in the show, Brian?
I did. You sort of have to break it into a couple of pieces because you have the background music that's just sort of the incidental music that is, you know, that's there and it's fine. But they have the music that's sort of integrated into the story and into the things that characters are doing. So you have, of course, the slide whistle dialogue, but you have a lot of things that involve music. Quite early in it, they introduce these musical notes that look like musical notes and can be placed on a, you know, a staff on a rock face and play little bits of music that way. And then these notes are planted and grow a music note tree. So they're able to continue doing things with music notes. And some of the creatures that are there, like the hoots, are based on musical instruments. So we have certainly an interesting collection of things being done with music, and it was quite neat. It was quite cleverly done.
And of course, if you put those musical notes on a sort of spinning drum and suspend a little bathtub spaceship from below it and play the musical notes, then of course you can fly in that, Brian.
Yes, you get a music boat, which can fly from the surface up to the Iron Chicken's nest. And you get all sorts of things like that. You do have the idea that the Clangers world is more a part of space around it rather than just being, you know, its own thing with its own atmosphere. And they can quite easily use the music boat or Major Clanger's flying machine and fly from the surface of the planet to other things around them.
Of course. Yes. How else would you travel in space, Brian?
Well, yes.
Marvelous. And of course, if you're going to make a device to pump soup from the soup wells and you work it with a sort of musical organ machine, and of course it becomes the pipe organ.
Yes. Yes, of course. They did have a pump organ in there, and yeah, Tiny Clanger becomes an organist at one point. You do get some really creative, unusual things in there.
Now, of course, educating children is not really either of our specialist subjects, Brian, but did you find the sort of depiction of music, sort of the idea of musical notation, some of the interesting musical instruments we see depicted on screen, even so sort of like sine waves that appear in space. Do you think that was sort of, must have been quite interesting and informative for children at the time?
Yeah, I think it would certainly be the type of thing that might help people develop an interest in music and sort of the idea of musical notation, seeing it there. I don't think it was really intended as a teaching tool, but it does give you some sort of interesting things that might help kids with that interest in things.
Yes, I wonder about that myself. I mean, I, you know, if anybody listening was inspired to take up music, singing, or a musical instrument as a result of Clangers, do please tell me, let me know. And if you made a musical boat that can fly, also tell us.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, it combines these things with the space types of things and, you know, things floating in space and that sort of thing. The idea of the interest in space and the moon mania interest in the Apollo moon missions, which were current at that point, that was very much something that was part of this. And we have a lot of sort of space speculation and sort of, you know, wonderfully absurd creative things related to space science fiction and aliens in space and so on.
All fantastically done. And while I'm talking about, you know, this show relating to its children viewership, I have to mention again Oliver Postgate's narration and then Michael Palin in the new version. But Postgate, who seems to be having a conversation with the viewer, it seems to me. That was something that I particularly noticed watching it again as an adult. He's having a conversation with the kids who are watching this show. He's explaining what's going on. He seems as intrigued about the Clangers' activities as the viewer is. And as you say, from time to time, he also explains the dialogue to us as well. So it's just beautiful narration. And we talk about the actress Daphne Oxenford from time to time, Brian, who was the voice of Listen with Mother for so many years and one of the voices of British childhood. For me, one of the voices of British childhood is Oliver Postgate's narration from this show and others. Just beautiful stuff.
Yes, and of course he was writing and doing the stop motion animation as well. So it was really a lot of what he was bringing to this is what became clangers.
And doing strange little musical sketch graphs of what he wanted, the ideas he had for the music for Vernon Elliott to produce.
Yes, for sure. I would love to see what those musical sketch graphs look like if they still exist.
Absolutely fantastic. So we've talked, I guess, quite a bit about small films. We've mentioned their sort of cottage industry approach. I was struck by some similarities with Gerry Anderson's world and his production company. And it seems that the relationship that Anderson had with Lou Gray at ITV, quite similar to the relationship Oliver Postgate had with the BBC, in that whenever he showed them his latest creation, they would say, "That's absolutely lovely. What will you have ready for us in 2 years' time?" So I suppose that's the behind-the-scenes world of commissioning programmes. You're always thinking a year or two ahead rather than the shows that are arriving now, I guess, Brian.
Right. And of course, on the Gerry Anderson side of things, that was for ITV, and it was also gearing things for selling to the US. So there was a lot of money in that and being put into those productions, which was not so much the case with small films and Oliver Postgate, which was more sort of BBC children's productions that were not being particularly done for other markets. But you certainly have sort of that interesting ongoing relationship, and, you know, the idea that instead of one ongoing series, there would be a new, completely different series coming up every year or two.
Yes, that's right. It's just interesting parallels, two fantastic creators working at a similar period in British television.
So is there anything more on the negative side you would like to say about clangers?
I guess that to our modern eyes, the stop motion can look a little bit jerky now. And it is interesting that the animation, although it's still stop motion knitted puppets in the new version, I'm glad to say, but that does look an awful lot smoother now than it did back in the 1960s with Oliver Postgate doing this stuff, as I say, on his own little stop motion camera in his cow shed. But so I suppose it can look a little bit jerky. It can look a little bit faded and grainy on our screens on high def nowadays.
Yeah, I'm sort of in a similar camp on that one. I think it still does look good, but the visuals really do have the limitations of the time. And things like the planet as seen from space, you know, we have these sort of big space establishing shots at the beginning of most episodes. Those look pretty limited, and they're not the kinds of things that we're used to now. And the color, this certainly is in color, but the color is a little bit faded, which is actually not bad. But the sort of big views from space, while they are charming and they are nice, they are quite dated.
Yes, all sort of updated with much more modern animation for the remake in 2015 on CBeebies.
Yes, I have not seen the 2015 CBeebies version. Is there anything else you want to comment on that version, Eamon?
Well, it is lovely. It is very colourful compared to the original. Music's still a very strong part of it, which I was delighted by. Apart from that, no, I would say, you know, because it's so easily available on iPlayer, it's certainly one for parents to look at with their kids. And, you know, we could almost say a criticism of the original show and the remake for parents might be that they're actually the episodes are too short. You know, this is, might be one where they wanted longer episodes than 10 minutes.
Yes, maybe. But that sort of helps with the idea that there's this slight ongoing feeling to it of new things being introduced quite frequently and continuing their ongoing role.
Okay, so apart from some slight problems with the colour and the graininess and the stop motion, did you have any other sort of points that you had in the negative column against clangers, Brian?
I really don't.
It is utterly charming, and I suppose, you know, if the charm escapes you, you might wonder what we've been banging on about with clangers. It might seem just like a silly children's show, but it is just so inventive and delightful. The characters are also sort of gentle and kind, and mostly everything is about trying to just get on with each other and cooperation and sharing. So it's all just wonderful stuff.
So should we go with our recommendations now?
I think we probably should, and I think our listeners can probably tell. As the newcomer to Clangers, what would you recommend for our listeners, Brian?
I am going to recommend this show. Clangers is really fun. I was not watching this with children. I don't remember it from my own childhood, but it has a lovely sense of absurdity, and it's so imaginative. And the 10-minute episodes are sort of nice little bite-sized stories. So I really enjoyed this a lot, and I'm going to recommend this. It's worth trying it out and giving it a watch if you haven't seen it.
Fantastic. Well, it's a double thumbs up, because obviously I love Clangers. I loved it as a child. I loved watching it again now. I found it just delightful. The sheer inventiveness of Postgate and Furman, Oliver Postgate's beautiful narration, the characters are charming, the music's charming. It's all just wonderful. And for £12 for the DVD, I think that's a bargain to either watch yourself or show to your children. And of course, if you've got access to BBC iPlayer, look at the 2015 version with Michael Palin taking over as the narrator, which is also utterly delightful. So I'm recommending both shows here on British Invaders.
Okay, very good. So, in summary, Clangers introduced us to an alien world where we see these strange creatures known as the Clangers, with this family of Major Clanger, Mother Clanger, Small Clanger, and Tiny Clanger, who have various adventures and invent different things and meet various creatures like the Iron Chicken, and also interact with creatures that are already on their world, like the Soup Dragon, and show us these short stories that give us these lovely, imaginative, and very inventive little stories.
Fantastic stuff. And do please come to the Facebook group and tell us your own Clanger stories.
Absolutely.
And of course, please come back and give us the pleasure of your company next time when we are having another of our adventures into comedy, this time in the sort of horror genre. We're covering a show from 2001 called Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible. And you can probably tell from the title what sort of TV and film horror productions it's trying to spoof.
Yes, there's some satire going on in that one for sure. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our adventures, all of our episodes there, well over 300 of them. And you can also find us on Facebook. If you search for British Invaders, you can find our group there. And we always have some good discussion going on there.
Indeed, we do. Look out for the Clanger Moon Hoax spoof meme when this episode comes out.
Of course.
And find us on the Voice of Geeks Network, where we are a proud member at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks, where we are there.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you for listening, and until next time, it's Eamon in England. I'm just going to open this door.